We like to do the things that everybody's telling us to do. And it's like, okay, you have to graduate from high school and then you have to go to college and then you have to do this and this and get a job. But then when somebody else comes and tells you, no, there's another way to do things. And there's other ways to express yourself and to get out there in the world. And you don't have to be the same person your entire life.
Welcome to Between Two Mics.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Rock.
We're the co-founders of Squadcast.fm.
The best way to record remote interviews in studio quality like this one.
Here on Between Two Mics, we explore the challenges, opportunities, and new ideas with the people who are pushing the limits of what's possible in podcasting. Pod Sound School is Veronica and Steve, husband and wife combo. A lot of great, you know, contributions to the podcasting community with both of you. What do you guys think about as far as your cadence with Pod Sound School?
Well, I think that we just, and when you say cadence, do you mean like how we release our content
and yes.
sort
yes.
of the, yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Basically, we have started doing it sort of haphazardly, you know, is how we started. And we wanted to, we got into YouTube as a way to repurpose our podcast episodes. And that's when we started, we were doing animation. And so now we've been totally done away with the animation for the most part. And we're actually just got our faces in front of the camera.
I'm glad I got one of those automated interviews. That was yeah. so cool.
Yeah, which by the way, I have that puppet if you ever want it. I don't know if I ever sent it to you, but
please you can, do. We'll make some fun stuff with it.
Yeah, if you can get a hold of Character Animator. And then that's it really. So now what we're doing instead is we kind of start with the YouTube video and we use good audio equipment. And then that provides us the ability to repurpose the YouTube scripts and the YouTube videos into podcast episodes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think that we get into too many things and it's just, it gets to be too much sometimes. But we're just very creative and we go with the flow and with what people need from us, our audience needs from us. Yeah. And it's just like our motto is, are we having fun? Are we enjoying creating our content? Are we enjoying what we're doing? So whatever we're doing, we just make sure that we're enjoying.
Well, so I'm glad, Veronica, that you brought up like how you guys want to have fun. And that's like the first thing that always pops off about your marketing, your branding to me is that there's like a lot of personality behind it. Is that something mm-hmm. that it looks like you intentionally did that? And, you know, where did that come from? Did you learn that from a previous line of work or just an idea you guys had when going full force on Pod Sound School?
It's funny because my previous line of work, I was an attorney. So there's basically no creativity, not even in writing, because what you do is like copy and paste and then you kind of like tweak the different legal documents that you have to draft every day as an attorney. So when I got into this project, I just didn't think that I was that creative or that I told Steven, geez, you are the creative one. I am not. But then the more I got into the project, the more I got into podcasting, then I started coming up with ideas. And so I would be like, why if we put ourselves, because we started with animations and doing animated videos. And I would be like, why if we are in the middle of the deserts and in the middle of the desert and then we are riding camels and or maybe if you shoot me like in the air or or just this all these crazy ideas. And in the process of growing the Pod Sound School, I just have discovered this creative person that was in me and that was contained inside me. And now I love the creative process. I love making videos. I love planning and writing for our podcast episodes. I love social media. I love all the content creation and how you can put yourself and your personality into every piece of content that you publish, into every podcast episode that you publish. You can put a little bit of your secret sauce. I call it secret sauce. In my case, it would be like the secret Colombian sauce, the salsa.
And that's really cool that you could find that, those skills. I think a lot of people either at some point just kind of decide, or maybe it's passively decide, like, oh, I'm not a creative person, or I am a creative person. And then it's kind of like self-reinforcing. But it seems like you made a transition in like a really big way, kind of in the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, like I went to the other side completely. Like that the majority, I would say like 60% of my Facebook friends are are attorneys and people I went to law school with. And I'm sure they're like, what in the heck she's doing? Oh, no, she's gone mad.
How are they like, I mean, I can think of some ways that they're different, but like, I imagine that, that was kind of a drag to not be creative. But then it can be kind of exhausting to be like very creative all the time. So do you feel any kind of like any pressure in either of those directions?
No, not really. I think I've been able to bring both worlds into the work I do. I do a lot of writing, and I write for our podcast, and I write for our blog, and I do the scripts for our videos too. So I get to bring that part of writing that I really love and that I learned when I went to law school. And then I get to combine it with the content creation and the creative side of being in the podcast industry. And it's just like a perfect combination for me. I don't think I will ever get tired of creating and of being creative. I think that's just, it's very fun for me, and I love it.
I don't see myself as much of a creative person, and I kind of come from a similar background as you. I come from like an accounting, worked at an accounting firm, so kind of similar to law Ooh. Firm, and yeah, even more boring, right? Less personality. So I love being around creative people. They've always fascinated me, and I've always like had a tremendous amount of just admiration for people that like were creating their own stuff, had their own, you know, like hustle, their own little thing going on. But what I do like that I think everyone can learn that you mentioned is putting more of your personality into your marketing and your branding. And what advice do you have for people, specifically podcasters, on how they can improve on that?
I think, and we do this with our clients, we like to push their limits. We like to put ideas in their heads. It helps when you have a coach or when you have somebody in your team telling you, but you're so good at this, but you are so, you have this charming personality and you have this really, really different kind of humor, or, you know, you're very good with combining colors and you're very good at this or that. So it helps to have somebody else just telling you and sparking that creativity and sparking that thing that sometimes we just like, because we like to comply and we like to do the things that everybody's telling us to do. And it's like, okay, you have to graduate and you have from high school, and then you have to go to college, and then you have to do this and this and get a job. But then when somebody else comes and tells you, no, like there's another way to do things, and there's other ways to do things, to express yourself and to get out there in the world, and I mean, you don't have to be the same person your entire life. You're constantly evolving, you're constantly changing and getting to be a different person, and that's exciting. So that when a client comes to us and they come with this set of beliefs and thoughts, then we're just trying to get them out of the box and see and just like pique their creativity and just like and step into their power and step into what makes them unique. So having somebody else to get that out of you, because I have the belief that we're all have the that creative person inside us. So having somebody to get that creativity and get that creative person out of us, is it helps. And in my case, Steven was that person because he is very creative and he's very like sometimes outrageous with his ideas. So I'm like, well, yeah, I can be creative too. Like I'll meet you halfway. I wouldn't go all the way, but I can meet you halfway.
Well, that must have been terrifying at first to go from the law firm world to this other world. And you know, it's good that you had Steve to help you along the way. So what was that transition period like?
At the beginning, it was a little hard for me just to make the decision and be okay with that and be okay with whatever the consequences were going to be.
Right?
Yeah, going off the path or what would my colleagues or my law school professors or my law school friends would say or would think about me. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was what I wanted and I just made the transition and I've never been this happy in my life. I'm doing what I love and I'm having a lot of fun and I'm not in a job that is sucking my soul and making me miserable and I'm working from home. I'm helping clients and I'm creating every day and that makes me happy.
That's really awesome that Steven, you could be Veronica's kind of creative catalyst to get her through this, you know, transition from kind of sounds like, you know, the past life as an attorney into this extremely creative environment. And now, you know, even beyond that, it seems like the both of you together have been able to then continue to replicate that for your clients and getting them out of their own way and their creative roadblocks and kind of unlocking and unleashing that creativity. So like, I'm curious how much of that is like, you know, like a repeatable process. Is that how you guys think about it? Is like, that's your value proposition at Pod Sound School or, you know, I've known you for a little while and this is kind of news to me. So I'm fascinated by this.
I like that as a value proposition. I think you just gave it to us.
Thank you, Zach.
I do think it's...
Zach's the man.
I do think there's a pretty simple formula with that. What Veronica was saying about how everybody is innately creative. I don't think it's very hard to awaken that creative side in people. And that's what I think is our value proposition with what we do with our clients is not just to get all of the administrative stuff out of the way, you know, because anybody can get the equipment and do a little bit of training. And that's how we started actually was providing audio training. That's why we're called the Pod Sound School is because we were training people with audio. But now it's actually more about mindset and it's more about becoming really awakening to like the real creative person that you are and like, you know, getting into that message. And so that's what we do with our clients and we've had a lot of success with it and a lot of fun with it. It's just a totally different and unique way to get to know people and to see people grow as a result. And that's my favorite thing about podcasting. And that's why our biggest thing that we are selling to people all the time isn't necessarily like the potential to monetize, because that's a fairly low potential, I guess, and in the majority of cases, but it's the potential for growth, personal growth, a lot of personal growth, and also professional growth out of it.
What's an example that you can think of with, you know, don't have to name names or anything, but I'm curious, what is that growth what's a good example of that growth that you guys are really excited to see?
Well, there's a couple examples with a couple of our clients. One of our clients was able to becoming less of an egomaniac. and
important.
And he's compromising. He's learning how to compromise because he hears his own voice recorded. And so he's compromising with his business deals, and his podcast is with his business. It's with what it's to support and to try to bring more clients into his business and more sales into his business. And he gets in all these fights, and he's just kind of got this big ego on his head, and he knows that too. So he wouldn't mind me saying this, and I've talked with him a lot about that. And it's cool to see how it's humbling him. I think that's the, and then with another client I thought of when you asked me for an example is the humbling and the, yeah, it's crazy, especially humbling specifically in your topic.
Personal growth, professional growth, the connections that you make, like how Steven was saying, like you get, it isn't, when you start podcasting, you realize, hopefully, that it isn't about you, that it's mm-hmm. about the people you serve, that it's about your listeners. And you start thinking, okay, what kind of content they need from me? What kind of information, what kind of entertainment advice they need from me, instead of I'm going to make this podcast because I want attention.
Yeah. And that's kind of the natural progression that I think you get to, and that we've seen a lot of our podskis get to, is they get there out of necessity for their show to grow. So if they mm-hmm. don't face those things within themselves and really start to visualize and have a strong understanding of who their ideal listener is and who they're entertaining or serving or educating, then their show's just going to be stuck at 40 downloads every episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of fun that you get into it, even if you just get into it as a hobby, or you get into it because it's a cool thing to do, or you mm-hmm. want the human connection. And then if you're like, why am I not getting any downloads? Then that brings you through this journey of like self-discovery.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just part of the process. When you start, you're very self-centered, and you know, some people have that ability to like, oh, like I work for my community and all that. In my case, that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the case of most of us. We're just, you know, we're like driving back and forth from our jobs and getting to our families and do the right thing. But we're not like heavily involved with any community, and mm-hmm. and having a podcast, you just have to go through the process of having those three or four first episodes being about you and the things that you like, and then you start listening to what people need and want from you, mm-hmm. and it's pretty amazing.
It's totally amazing, and like it's like having an audience. You know, I've kind of learned along this journey something similar, that like there's different kind of non-obvious things that like superpowers that come from having an audience. And I think this is, you know, something that you're teaching me now, is that there's this level of like mindfulness that comes from having that audience. And it's like, okay, if you want this to grow, then you have to get out of your way and you have to find a way to reach those people. Mm-hmm. This is not something that that I've heard many other people talk about. So I think you're definitely onto something, and I know you make great content. So I knew that there was something kind of special going on in there, but to be able to bring that out, not just of yourselves, but bring that out of other people, right? That mm-hmm. that's a unique skill here.
Mm. No, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. It's funny. I think we're kind of unaware of that skill. It seems maybe that's just our own experience of it or something, but yeah.
Still,
well,
cool,
maybe for our listeners, I was thinking maybe we can give our listeners like just run the gamut of the services you all provide, just so that they know. And I mean, and obviously, I'm sure they can kind of, you know, guess what you do, but just to give them a quick run up, because I mean, one of the things that we see interacting with so many podcasters is, you know, getting help is going to cost money, especially if it's good help, but man, it truly does make a difference. And there's so many people like you all in podcasting that are like really know what to do and are true pros at it. So yeah, just if you can, you know, list off what you're doing for folks, and I think that'd be helpful for our listeners.
Yeah, great. So you want to take it? Go ahead.
I can start with, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So depending on where in the process of developing the idea they are, because some people, they come to us with, oh, I want to start a podcast, but I don't know which topic to choose, or I don't know if I'm gonna choose the right topic. And there's older people that come to us and they have the idea and they already have a business. So they have all this work put into it. So for somebody who wants to start a podcast but don't have the ideas, I take them from wherever they are at the beginning, then I take them all the way to develop the idea, to do market research to find their ideal listener, and then from there to plan all the content and some kind of like developing their idea with branding and social media marketing all at the same time. And then Steven takes the project and we have a lot of discussions, because branding is not only the website, is not only the colors and the images we have on our social media, it's also the design of the show.
Yeah, and the audio of
Of the show and the music. So we do a lot back and forth. So this is the concept I have. This is my work up until here. So it's my baby. So I'm involved. And
So
this is what you have to do.
It's crazy. Up until this point, our services have been very customized, very one-on-one, based off of people's needs. And now that's bringing us into this place of wanting to streamline it more and make it more available for more people. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're now getting into online courses. And so we actually are starting our first online course, which is going to start from the very beginning, just the ideation, I guess. And it's called the Smart and Sexy Podcast Launch. We're pretty excited about that.
Provocative.
Yeah. I'm the sexy. She's the smart.
I'm the smart. Yeah,
goes without saying.
Yeah. But that's all about, like, you know, the smart part of it is to do the technical stuff and the administrative stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. We try to do that in a fun way. And then also, like, you know, to validate your idea too, to look into the market and do competitor analysis and things like that, just a little bit, nothing crazy, before you get into it. That way, you know that there is an audience, or that the audience is available for you. It's not too oversaturated. Mm-hmm. And then the sexy part is to create like a brand, and that's where Veronica comes in with the just to find that thing that makes you uniquely you, like the weirdest or the most peculiar, the most sexy thing about you, and make that really shine. So right now we're actually trying to get away from taking clients. So we were doing one-on-one, and then we did podcast editing. When we first started too, I was doing one-on-one FaceTime or Skype calls with people and helping them set up their podcast studio. And it was just really hard to like know how much to charge people, and like, how do you charge an hourly rate for a FaceTime call, and all sorts of things. So now we just basically have a couple good solid clients that we work with. So we're not really, it just, so much time goes into producing a podcast, and we would rather help hundreds of people produce their podcast than just one. So
to add a little bit more to that, I think it's important to have both things, the technical and the administrative side of podcasting, and also the branding and marketing, because just having a well-produced podcast, having a great podcast, is just not enough to be successful at podcasting. You need to have that great content. You need to have that great sounding podcast along with branding and marketing. That's how you get those two things combined, and that's how you get results from your podcast very soon.
And it strikes me, coming from my background, I went to art school, and then of course we do Squadcast, which is a tech startup thing. But you know, it's empowering creatives, and we often talk about there's this kind of approach in startup land called a lean startup methodology, I think is what it's called. Like, props to Steve Blank, I think, who came up with that. But it's also kind of a startup repackaging of design thinking, which was why I mentioned going to art school, because it's pretty much the same set of skills. And it sounds like that's what you're similar to what you're doing, right? You're starting from the beginning, you're getting ideas, and then you're getting validation to make sure you're not spinning your wheels going off in the wrong direction. And Rock and I have talked a few different times about how there's these parallels between startups and podcasting. And if more people kind of approach their podcast kind of like following that design thinking or lean startup methodology, lean podcasting, I guess we could call it something like that, to really, yeah, not just kind of like come up with this grandiose idea and then be like, oh, okay, and then I'm going to make it and then people are going to love it, you know? And it's just like, yeah, but did you ever mm-hmm. talk to anybody in between there? Did you actually like see how that could come to life? So I'm curious, like the inspiration, was that just intuitive that this was the approach for you, or is there a kind of a model that you were using to kind of bring that into podcasting?
That's interesting. I think it was trial and error and a lot of failures. Mm-hmm. just a lot of like swimming against the stream and doing things the wrong way, really, mm-hmm. Was what it was. And then I think also, you know, Veronica has this strong, crazy, structured law school mind. And then I come from the background of big projects like film projects and went to film school as well. So I think that's where it comes from, is the organization you need to be able to put a film together. And then the structure and everything you need to be able to research and find data and deliver the data in a proper way, and that whole thing kind of lends itself to it for sure, probably. But and that's where I think just the music background that I have as well too just brings that kind of like that fun to it. And that's sort of what we think the key ingredient is fun. And we feel like if you're having fun, then you're going to make really good content.
Yeah, and also we experimented a lot with our podcast. We still do that. And at the beginning, it was like, okay, like why is this not happening? Why we're not growing? Why we're not seeing steady grow? Mm-hmm. Like there's something that we're missing in between. Like because we started the Pod Sound School with the idea that we're just gonna have a podcast about sound production, that it was going to be with the purpose of helping podcasters to improve their sound. And then we were like, okay, but there's certain concepts that we can explain in a podcast, so we're going to have a YouTube channel. So that's how we started our YouTube channel. And I told Steven, I need to do some kind of writing. So that's when we decided, okay, we're going to have a blog, a podcast, and a YouTube channel.
And we're going to have like 10 different URLs and, and 4 different websites. We came up with, we had Podpreneur blog. Mm-hmm. Podpreneur was a term we wanted to own.
And oh, so no.
I got it. I got podpreneur.com, but I spelled it wrong. Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah.
It did.
So I guess, and I still own that the misspell. I mean, it's already a word that's
you
spelled
don't let
wrong,
go.
You know, podpreneur. Yeah.
Got to hold on to those.
So, you know, and then, yeah, a lot of lost money and things like that too. But I think that's mm-hmm. kind of the fun we have. We throw ourselves as guinea pigs into the water of like, well, this can be really embarrassing. And I never... Like me 3 years ago, the thought of being on a Facebook Live in a Facebook group would sound like a nightmare. Like I'd probably have a panic attack thinking about that, you know? And now we just do it. So I think that's, yeah, that we sort of kind of answered your question there, but.
A lot of trial and error.
Mm-hmm, trial and error, basically. We didn't have trial and error and then the legal background and the, sound and film background as well.
Well, it sounds a lot like us and also kind of similar to us is the family element. Now, I mean, Zach and I aren't family, but we do go back 10 years to high school, and his brother is our head of support and audio engineer. You know, his dad works on the team as well. So, you know, what's it like to be a podcast family? I mean, are the little ones, are they already listening to podcasts? Are they participating in Pod Sound School? What's it like to be a podcasting family? I think it's really cool.
Well, our daughter finally, because of this quarantine that's going on and this social distancing, we're like, hey, you know, we can hook you up. We got Squadcast already. We pay for the membership. Like, you can just get on there with your friends. And so she's starting a podcast with her other Latina friend in the neighborhood. And she's calling it Two Tiny Latinas in a Big White World.
Oh, my God. That's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully they go places That's with awesome. It. And I'm like, you can interview people right now too, because everybody's on lockdown. Like the mayor, call the mayor, you know? And, but they're, so these 11-year-old Latina girls, and they're pretty, they have some attitudes.
They do.
Get out of here.
And then
I would not, I would never suspect that.
Oh, man.
I don't know where she gets it from. Not
and then I've kind of threatened our son, because they're twins, 11-year-old twins, into learning editing and stuff. So he's learning Descript right now and things like that, because we're trying to keep them connected with their friends. And so podcasting is kind of a way to do that. But I think it's just her and I, because I think, I don't know if this is like it with a lot of, I wish they'd be interested in podcasting, but I think because we do it, they think it's lame.
I think they just recorded the episode, and I think they're going to see when we post the episode, and they'll see it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. They're going to get excited.
But to expand on that idea of the family podcasting a little bit more, I think that it's at least couple podcasting. Maybe that's another topic too, is like, is it advisable to have a podcast with your significant other? You know,
that's what we want to know, Steve.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that the answer is yes. I really do think it's yes, because you don't get that opportunity to have the kind of conversations you have when you're making a podcast focused around a topic. And also there's so much creativity that goes into it. And it's really, I think, therapeutic, and can even kind of be, I don't know if it's romantic, but it's not, it's cute. It's a cute way to bond, you know, as a relationship. And I know that we've heard handfuls of podcasts. What's that one with the man, he was an alcoholic, and he talks, his wife.
Marriage and Martinis.
Oh, yeah, Marriage and Martinis. I don't know if you've heard of that. It was getting pretty popular for a while, but they just talk about their marriage problems and the fact that he's a town drunk, you know? And it's like couples therapy for them.
I see its negatives.
What happens, though, is when you want to start growing, and when you want, it would be cool if somebody besides all of our friends and, you know, our 15 people are listening to this every week. And that's where everybody gets to. And you get to that crossroad, and you either pod fade at that point, or you're like, okay, what do we got to do to grow?
Right.
And that's where you move from having a podcast together as a couple to having a business together as a couple. And that
being business partners,
that takes, I think, a certain kind of couple. I wouldn't be able to do it with anybody but Veronica, just because of our personalities match that way. But otherwise, I don't know if I would advise it for a lot of my friends, a lot of people I've known. I'd be like, no, don't go into business with your wife. Are you kidding me?
Shouldn't have got married in the first place. Don't do a business.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But
it's not perfect all the time, though. Yeah. We have our things, too.
We have our things, yep.
Steven is a perfectionist when it comes to the technical stuff.
Ooh, here we go.
He likes to be in control.
Here we go.
He likes to be in control of everything that goes on here. So sometimes can get a little crazy, because I don't have any idea about the technical stuff. Nor do I want to.
Even though she's read the script.
I was going to ask if you want to go in that direction. No, I mean, you're big on growth, so I don't know. That's maybe an opportunity.
No. Not for me, definitely. And so sometimes he's just like trying to make all the stuff work, and then and then doing things here. Just
it
like,
turns into a meltdown sometimes. There's been a couple of like classic studios.
Grabbing his head.
I'm definitely the diva.
And I'm just sitting here like... Couple. Looking at my makeup and posting on Instagram.
It's been challenging. That's why I think it's also really cool to have the video component into it as well, too. And we're always, that's our big thing, too, with our clients, has been getting them in front of the camera as well with their podcast. We think that's like just a must, kind of.
Yeah.
And
you guys just added it like it was nothing, or what was that transition like? To, I mean, a lot of people, that's a big move to go from a podcast to also doing video.
Yeah.
Just kind of smoothed over it, made it seem super easy to make that transition. So I'm curious what that was like.
Yeah,
we didn't know what we were getting into.
No, and so I guess also
that helps sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah. There's that, and then kind of there is a lot that goes into it, especially just all of the technical stuff, you know, that's the stuff that's hard, is the learning how cameras work if you don't know how that works. So we were lucky that way because I had taken all these useless classes that were never going to go toward anything. But now they go toward something. So, but if for people who don't have a background in equipment or editing and recording software or video editing software, then yeah, oof, that's a big step you have to make. You either have to go through a tremendous amount of learning yourself, which requires hours and hours of learning, and then also hours every time you're making a video. It's going to take you a whole day to make the video. So especially if you want it to perform well again on YouTube, because you can make crap, but it's not going to perform that well. So I don't know. Yeah, it's tricky. I did gloss over that. I'm glad you brought or pointed that out.
It's a big step. And yeah. I'm also wondering now it's occurring to me that if everything was like super creative, then there's the risk that nothing would actually get done. If everything were super like tight and technical and professional, then that also runs the risk of nothing would get done. Mm-hmm. So like, there's kind of it seems like a sweet spot in between there where you're as a couple, the Pod Sound School is very prolific with content and producing lots of stuff. So, and at a high quality. So you're clearly been able to overcome that. The potential of either one of those two kind of characteristics or sides of the coin, like stopping you from actually getting things published. Right. Mm-hmm. But you are able to continue publishing. Is that something you're kind of bumping into on a regular basis, or you feel like you're in a groove there?
I think Steven is learning to let go.
Yeah.
Because he's a perfectionist when it comes to his work. So he's learning to let go. And I'm like, okay, well, we need to keep moving. We need to keep moving forward. Like, would you please? It's okay. It's fine. Of course, we don't want to publish something that it's good quality. We publish stuff that it's a little questionable, but... Questionable as far as our performance.
Yeah, as far as the performance.
But not the technical side of it.
It's funny because I would say the same thing about Veronica, is that she's learning to let go. Like, that's what it is. It's just learning to let go a little bit and just get into it. Also, we kind of stop every now and then. We're like, are we having fun? And mm-hmm. that's kind of our guiding force too. It's like, because if it stops being fun, then time seems to speed up or slow down. And then things stop working, and then we kind of start arguing or bickering with each other, and then we're not having fun. And she didn't leave the corporate world, and I didn't get out of doing painful video editing for horrible projects just to again get suffer. Into a spot of not mm-hmm. having fun, you know. And I think that's kind of is the key element, I think, is the fun element. But then the cool thing about that, though, because if it was just me, if I were just doing Pod Sound School, it would be like the former that you mentioned, which is just total creative. I'd be in costumes. Maybe I'd be naked sometimes. I don't know. And there'd just be just whatever I felt like doing. There would be no. And so to have the filter of, I think like it's cool to have the left brain and the right brain. And that's also why I think it's nice to have a co-host or that can be one of the hardest things too, is do you want to go solo or do you want to have a co-host that's really going to kind of help even you out and pull you back when you get too creative or remind you that, you know, maybe that's not appropriate for your audience, you know?
That's really cool. You've been able to balance all these different factors out. And if we can switch gears a little bit to kind of the current state of podcasting. We are good friends and you're contributors to the podcast community. So thank you for that contribution. I think it's something that you've added a lot of fun, I think, to the podcasting community overall. And that's something
thank you.
That's cool.
Stands out. You're welcome. Yeah. Thank you. And that's something that stood out to me. So I'm curious, though, the podcast kind of scene or industry or whatever has evolved and is evolving rapidly. And that's what we focus on here on our show, Between Two Mics. So I'm curious, like, from when you first started to now, how have you seen things evolve and kind of where do you see things going?
Oh, man. It's crazy because we really only started on this particular project a year ago. which is it that doesn't seem, but I feel like in the world of podcasting, at least between like 2018 and 2020, you could say, is like, it feels like 15 years almost of development.
Agreed.
Not just the amount of podcasts that are out there, but just the money and the celebrities
and the new services, the new services and gadgets.
Every day there's a really cool new app that somebody's developing or gadgets. And then also, yeah, and the Spotify and Apple wars. And now all the exciting stuff with Google and that I think is going to really, I just like everybody's really focusing in on it, taking it seriously as an industry. But then there's also kind of the old timers sort of begrudgingly not knowing, losing control over their baby. And that's kind of in it a little bit too. And still trying to make sense of this thing that's still just in its infancy, it feels like. But so I think it's just been really exciting to get into it. And it remains still the same. It still has the same values it had 2 years ago. And so we're newbies for sure in the podcasting industry. But so much has changed already that we feel like experts of our little corner, you know, at least. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, so we have this. We recently changed the format of our podcast, and now we have long episodes and short episodes. And the short episodes, we call those pod bits. And for pod bits, we have to do a lot of research of what's going on in the podcast community, what's the latest in equipment and apps and software and services, and so we can bring that to our audience so they mm-hmm. can they can stay in the know of what's going on with the podcast community.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of curated content for as a little segment in the podcast episode.
So what we're mm-hmm. seeing is how discoverability for podcasts is changing so rapidly, mm-hmm. and how like Steven mentioned, like how Google it's making it more so you can like incorporate SEO into your podcast planning, mm-hmm. and that way you can be more discoverable and available for your audience, so people can find you. So I think that's one of the biggest things that are happening right now, is not only to go and seek your listeners and be on social media all the time, is like if you have all these things in place, then
people can find you.
It
reminds me of like comparatively when you compare YouTube, our YouTube channel versus our podcast. Our YouTube channel is where all of our customers are coming from, like pretty much the big part of our, and it's because we've been able to optimize YouTube. Because YouTube's a platform that's been around long enough, there's tools like TubeBuddy and vidIQ and Morning Fame and a bunch of other tools, Google Chrome extensions basically, that just help you to kind of gather data and compare and contrast yourself to other YouTube videos that are performing well. And because of that, we're actually able to optimize our videos so that they get suggested to people. So that we, like Veronica said, we don't go and advertise our YouTube videos like crazy all over social media or drop that into some tweet schedule and tweet out our video 100 times, you know, to try to get people over to it. YouTube's a platform that actually allows you to discover new videos based off of your interests and really kind of understands the value of their creators. And I think the Spotify is grabbing a hold of that, and I think Google's grabbing a hold of that. And then Apple, like, just with everything else, they're just like, hey, fuck it, we're Apple.
You know? You're not supposed to swear.
I'm sorry. Maybe.
All good.
Yeah, okay. Maybe one F word, it makes it PG-13. So I don't know. That's our thoughts. I don't know. Do you guys feel similar at all? I'm curious to know how you feel about the industry and your time, if you wouldn't mind real quick.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about. I think when we first, like, you know, took a more active approach instead of just being a listener, we've been longtime listeners and fans of the medium for a while. But when Zach had the idea for Squadcast, that's what made it easy for me to get excited about. And then as we started to, you know, move in and be more established and make connections in the industry, we're like, oh, this thing is actually like growing and becoming like a big business and stuff. And like, I mean, I feel like, you know, when Spotify acquired Gimlet and Anchor, that was like a big day in podcasting. We were flying to LA to go to an event for Simplecast. And I remember thinking like, dude, podcasting world has changed. You know, it was like one of those moments. And so, yeah, there's a lot to be excited about, but it's even more exciting because it's still, like you guys said, it still kind of has that, what do they call it? Guerrilla pirate radio kind of effect. People can be,
punk rock.
You guys really embody, I think it's punk rock. You guys really embody that podcaster of like, take chances, make mistakes, learn from it, adapt, you know, learn a lot in a quick amount of time and like, you know, just, you know, run to trouble essentially. So I think that's what makes it so fun.
So, thank you both, Pod Sound School, Veronica and Steven, for joining us on Between Two Mics. Where can our listeners find Pod Sound School?
Well, you can go to podsoundschool.com or at Pod Sound School on any of the social platforms, and that's where you could find us.
Yeah, I reply to all my messages, my DMs on Instagram, and Steven is on Twitter.
Guy, so
and I do Facebook as well. So.
Yep.
They can find us there.
Yeah, and thanks so
Come
much.
Come and say hi.
We're big fans, and it's always been. I mean, you were the very first person we interviewed for our podcast, so it's kind of fun to be back on and be on your podcast. So we really appreciate it.
Oh, it's an honor. So we'll have to bring you back and do part two because you guys are moving so fast and iterating so many things about your content, your business, who you are personally, your clients, all of it. So I think keeping this kind of an ongoing conversation, we talk about the community, we could talk about all the work that we're doing. So really appreciate this. Thank you.
Yeah.
We would love to.
This has been another episode of Between Two Mics with Zach and Rock from Squadcast.
The best way to record remote podcast interviews like today's in studio quality.
Visit bit.ly/squadpod to check out our resources page where you can download your free remote interview checklist.